In the last 40 years of my life, I've made a valiant effort and continue to make valiant efforts to address every issue and any issue that is confronting Klal Yisrael. And one of the major issues in my life that really came into my life in 1971-72 when I learned in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, a yeshiva called Itri, was the issue of Aliyah. I mentioned in the past that Chodesh Elul for me, the first Chodesh Elul I spent in the yeshiva, was a wondrous experience. There were probably approximately 500 guys learning in the yeshiva in Itri. I would say it was half Israeli and half Anglo-Saxon. And the atmosphere in the yeshiva was literally the way I used to hear from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, that Chodesh Elul, the fish in the vasa had gitzitted. The fish in the water was shaking. They were trembling because the Midas Adin, the Yom Adin, was coming. And I felt that very strongly in Itri. I also felt very strongly the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the pull of Eretz Yisrael. And I mentioned a number of times that the day after Yom Kippur, which was between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, a number of people tried to convince me to make Aliyah on the spot. This is 43 years ago, in 1971-72. So I decided to ask a shayla, and they asked, who should I ask? They told me, you should go to the Gadol Hador. There were a number of Gadol Hador, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu. Hopefully from amongst you, there will also emerge some great Talmidei Chachamim. So I went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And that was actually the beginning of a longer kind of relationship. I've told the story many times. But one of the questions I asked him was, I appeared the day after Yom Kippur, I knock on the door, somebody entered, he looked pretty distinguished. I didn't know whom he was. I asked, is this the house of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? So he answered, Korin li Auerbach. I said, but I want to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Horim shali karuli Shlomo Zalman. So I gathered he was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And then he asked me what I'm interested. I said, I have a number of questions. He invited me in. I sat down at the table and there proceeded to ask. I took out my yellow pad at about 83 questions or so. The first one was Aliyah. And he indicated to me that I should still observe 2 days of Yom Tov, and he didn't think I was ready to make Aliyah. He was 100% correct. And from then on, I then asked him if I could come to him on an ongoing basis. He said, anytime you want. And so every single week I appeared in the house of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach for about a year and a half. The period of time I was in Eretz Yisrael. I fell in love with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. That's not too difficult to do. I also fell in love with Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, after I left, I remember I bought a sefer. I have it somewhere in my house. I think it's called Al-Kanfi Nisharim. I don't know where it is. Meirov Svarim. It's Batel Barov. It's probably still in the attic somewhere in the Boidim. Who knows? A sefer that describes the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, I decided I'm going to find a way to come back. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. But from that point on in my life, I was pulled by Eretz Yisrael, pulled by the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and it took many years for me to return to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. At one point I was Zocha, I think I mentioned, Motzei Shabbos, I happened to say, V'hiten Lecha. It's actually written in my Torah Shulchan Aruch, so what can I do? And I instituted it in my shul, and they said, what? In Chutz Aretz we never said V'hiten Lecha. Anyone here say V'hiten Lecha? Can you raise hands? Who says here V'hiten Lecha? Anybody know what that is? willing. Bayitanacha, there is kimat not a shul in Chutzlaret that I've gone to, and I travel a lot, a fair amount, that says Vayitanacha on Matzai Shabbos. Oh. So I instituted it. They found it to be a foreign body, of course, a foreign element. But in the Yitanacha, among the tefillos, the beautiful tefillos that we mentioned there, so we also mentioned about Eretz Yisrael, and every time I came to that tefillah when I was in Chutz Aretz, I would start crying. And I would say to Hashem Yisbarach, how am I going to come back to Eretz Yisrael? Will I ever be zochet to return to Eretz Yisrael? And I mentioned already a number of times. At one point I decided I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael. I don't care what happens. And we had a vote in my family, and it was 9-1, and the one prevailed. And Baruch Hashem, I think that here we can apply and little by little the Reitzani has emerged in my family. Can't say everyone, but I would say certainly at this point it's a rov who recognized the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to discuss the topic, but I'm going to discuss it by first presenting two, shall we say, options. And generally I like to, of course, see myself as being someone who represents the middle. Of course, everyone thinks they're in the middle. And as Rabbi Yochum Gerelach Zatzal told me, no afel get mitvungas. Anyway, last time I want to translate that for you. But he was talking about centrism and the like, and that was his response to that. Centrism, you're familiar with that? We all try to be in the middle. Everyone wants to be in the middle. Depends who's to the right, who's to the left. Everything is relative, as you know. Okay, so I'm going to begin by presenting the following. A Pashkevilya that I saw many years ago in Meir Sharon. I'll start with that, and then we'll proceed to a statement. I tried to check it as quickly, as carefully as I could, that was made in Kochav HaShachar on Shabbos. So I'll present the two, shall we say, extreme statements. I'll begin with the Pashkevilya that I actually Xeroxed.
What does that mean? Pashkevilya.
Ah, Pashkevilya refers to, anybody ever walked through Meir Sharon? I'm really there. But you know, here, how do they announce, how do they advertise what's happening? The answer is they plaster these posters. They plaster on the wall with the whitewash, with the sid, so you can know what they did is Mal Chazal. Anyway, so that's what they do here. So on one of the Pashkevilyas in Meir Sharim many, many years ago, I decided I had to get a hold of that Pashkevilya. I enjoyed it so much. I'm really in Meir Sharim, maybe once or twice a year, maybe. Sometimes not even that. And so I saw the following Pashkevilya, and it said, Al Golus V'Tzar HaShchina HaKdosha. Spoke about the Tzar that Hashem Yisbarach is having. V'Niskayim Bonu B'Avanasenu HaRabim Dibri Yemiyahu HaNovi. Tefse HaTeira Lo Yudouni. V'Haroyim Poshubi. I don't have to translate every word, but the general sense is that those who should be observing the Torah do not know Hashem. And then he writes the following. Shemu Shamayim Al Zeis. Lahakim Shil Ten Shel Kofrin. We've established a government of Kofrin. Kofrin meaning people who are non-believers. HaKofrin Bashem Uvutarasu Akdesha. Be'eretz Yisrael. In this country. Tachashem Yisrael. Under the name of Yisrael. Shekol Yisraydei Al Chuki Agoyim. The government is primarily founded upon what? Upon Chuki Agoyim. V'labor al ha-shvuo she'ishbi ha-kadosh baruch es kness Yisrael shelo yimudu be'umos. The reference is to a Gemara in Ksubis, I'll mention in a moment, a famous Gemara, that the Gemara tells us there were three shvuos, three oaths, that Hashem Yisbarach administered to Klal Yisrael. And so here, one of them is that we should not rebel against the nations of the world. V'loseis b'achrayu shvichus domim. According to their time, La'amiras Tehillim, Ukriyas Vayechal. They're gathering on Yom HaTzmaut to say Tehillim, And Vayichal, lo yirei rachamei shamayim, lo tziyanu me'agolos ha'mar hazeh, v'yishlach lanu Mashiach tzidkenu, b'mehera, b'yameinu. And the last statement I say, amen. Just to the last statement. So this is a Pashkevilya that was in Meir Shearim. You probably see them every year. I don't go every year, but I went once, and I was trying to get that Pashkevilya off the wall. I asked permission. I asked for shus. And I discovered that this Pashkevilya was not just one. There were 10 on top of each other. I didn't see the toilets for that. I finally got one off. I actually photocopied it and have it down here, the photocopy. Essentially, what they're saying is a position which is known to be the position of the Satmar Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the Satmar Rebbe held in his country, Salagula Velatmura, that the quicker we dismantle the government of the State of Israel, the quicker the Geula Mashiach will come. And to the extent that the government continues to operate, and to the extent that we have a state, that is an impediment to the Geula. That is one opinion. That's one position. Now, does that mean that the Satmar Rav Zatzal did not believe in living in Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. We'll get to that in a few moments. But clearly he was not exactly fond of Yom HaTzmahut. That's the understatement of the year. Nor was he very fond of the government of the State of Israel, because of all the problematica and the secular nature of the government and the like. That's just mitzad echad. Mitzad sheni, I was told by a lot of your colleagues, compatriots, that you had Baruch Hashem Shabbos in Kochav HaShachar. There were a number of very fascinating statements that were made there. One of them, I'm citing Nogevedova. They said, whoever lives in Beit Shemesh, maybe they're referring to Ramat Beit Shemesh, not the Beit Shemesh where I live. But whoever lives in Beit Shemesh, essentially, did not fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah. And whoever does not make Aliyah, and for that matter lives in L.A., or Chicago, or Teaneck, they maladaber Flatbush. Hear well, all you Sfaradim Torah. You basically, now I don't know if I heard the statement correctly. What did they say? What is your status then? Obviously he didn't make Aliyah, that I understand. But they were questioning your very Jewish identity. So here, those who live in Flatbush and remain there, L.A., Teaneck, Chicago, your Jewish identity is in question. These are two positions that I would like to present as, shall we say, min hakotzeh lakotzeh, one extreme to another. And I honestly always believe that the answer, of course, lies where? In the middle. And of course, I would like to believe, I say that by Anova, that I represent that middle position. Again, there are many people who don't think I represent the middle. Depends whom you speak to. To some individuals, I am a Reform rabbi, at best, on the good days. On the bad days, I'm probably a Reconstructionist, or perhaps even to the left of that. And to others, I'm the most extreme, fanatic, zealot, right-wing rabbi they ever met. So everything is relative, akol yachasi, but I'm still presenting two, shall we say, positions. And now I'm just going to begin with some of the facts that are, again, b'mechilas kvod kol rabbonim who are here. I'm not saying any chidushim whatsoever. Just tell over a number of facts and then share with you some of my feelings about the comments that I made, the two extremes that I just spoke about. We'll start with the Gemara in Ksubis, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud, the famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us, it's a quote of Allah in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a husband and wife, she wants to make Aliyah, and he says no. The din is kaifin oisei lalos. That you can actually compel, halachically, the husband to make Aliyah. And vice versa. Whether it's the case that I mentioned, or the reverse case. And the Gemara tells us there are also consequences in the case where he wants to make Aliyah and she does not. Kofin osar lalos, v'im lab teitzei b'lo ksuba. You can actually divorce her without a ksuba. Furthermore, there's another statement. She wants to live in Yerushalayim and he wants to live in Beit Shemesh. So the Gemara tells us, also in Shulchan Aruch, it's a no-brainer that they have to live in Yerushalayim. That's one Gemara. A very famous Gemara. The second Gemara I will read is the Gemara that the Sadmei Rav Zatzal largely bases his position on. That's the Gemara with the Gimel Shavuos. I think I mentioned this also. I have two brothers, Shlita Shlita, Rav Aaron David, Rav Hillel David Shlita. They both live in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. One brother, the one in Chadera, who's a Rav Beit Cholim, he's a Rav in the hospital in Hillel Yafa Hospital in Chadera for the last 3 decades or so. He actually came here many, many years ago. First he got himself smicha, and then he became a dayan. He couldn't get a job because he wasn't politically connected with the right parties. And he studied Ol Hashem Mishpat, he has yad smicha as well. He studied in the kollel for approximately 14 years until he got yad smicha. And then he became a rav in a hospital in Chadera. So he has never left Eretz Yisrael in the last 44 years. Would he leave Eretz Yisrael? No. He had an opportunity a number of times to leave because we had a first cousin once we moved who sent him a ticket. I actually went to Chutz Aretz and was Masada Kedusha at this first cousin once we moved, Chasana. My other brother, the one who comes here once a week on Sunday, also came. He's the only time he left Eretz Yisrael. He asked Rabbi Yashiv, Ashayla, Halpi Alocha, is he allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yashiv told him yes. But this other brother in Chadera will never leave Eretz Yisrael because to go into Tumas Eretz Amim, Hayitochen, Akidekach, Adam, you hear? So when I would call him, I lived in Toronto, I spoke to him from time to time, he would quote to me this Gemara. I wouldn't even get to Hillel Shalom Aleichem, by the way, he speaks to me only in Hebrew, to underscore that connection to Eretz Yisrael. The first thing he said, I said, how are you? And he said, Liolam Yodru Adam Eretz Yisrael Afila Bechadeira. Ear, Shem Bibchinatcha, Lo Kol Kach Ay Ay Ay. That was his language. Val Yodru Be Toronto, Afila Be Ear, Sheruba, Ay 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 Ay. That's how he used to put it to me. Every conversation. Why? Shekaladar Bechadeira, Doma Kibish Reshav Aloka. You have a God. Bechaladar Be Toronto, you have no God. I'm sort of paraphrasing the Gemara Ksubis, the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud. That's how my brother began the conversation. Every single conversation. Lo Yomaki Yisupa. Okay. The Gemara also has, I mentioned, 3 shvuas, the Gemara mentions. 3 oaths. I'm not going to go into all the details of the oaths, but one was mentioned here by the Pashkevilya. We should not rebel against the Umas HaOlam. The Umas HaOlam should not oppress us unduly. And there's a 3rd shvua as well. So based on these 3 shvuas, the Sadmei Rav Zatzal contended that they are operative. Most poskim assume that these 3 shvuas are not operative because they're not quoted l'alocha by the Rambam, by the Shulchan Aruch, number one. Number two, the Divrei Agoda. Number three, there's a letter of the Rosameach, of Amir Simcha Kain Bidvist, the Meshech Chochma, where he writes, as a result of the Balfour Declaration and other such documents that gave him permission to come and settle here in Eretz Yisrael, he writes the Lashon is Tzor Pachad HaShvuos. The language is the enormity of these shvuos has essentially dissipated. They no longer have the kind of halachic impact that they would have had because clearly the non-Jewish world violated their part of the bargain, even though we may have violated our part of the bargain, but they also violated it, and therefore all the shvuos don't have any halachic efficacy or enormity, if you will. And that's the issue regarding that. However, there's a very famous Tosfos in Ksubis that he writes regarding the issue that I mentioned earlier, namely, if the husband and wife had disagreement, who should make aliyah? One says yes, one says no. By the way, I'm involved in such issues in the last 40 years of my life. I've encountered many couples, one of them wanted to make aliyah, the other one not. And then the question is what to do. According to the Gemara, Mi'ikadina the Gemara, the other one literally has to accept the position of the one who wants to make aliyah, otherwise there could be consequences. So Tosfos writes, "Ein anoig bizman hazeh." This din is not relevant anymore. Deika sakonas drachim, because There's a lot of sakana out there to get to Eretz Yisrael. V'hayomer Rabbeinu Chaim, di'achshav eino mitzvah lodu b'Eretz Yisrael. Today there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, says Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Bali HaTosfos. Ki yesh kama mitzvah satuyas b'aretz, b'kama onshin, there are mitzvah satuyas b'aretz, as you know, and onshin, punishments. De'eino nichol mizor b'lamor aleihem. We're not able to somehow be careful and somehow commit ourselves to them. This is the subject of an entire literature that spawned this statement of Rabbeinu Chaim, which I'll get to a little bit after, but I'm simply just trying to lay down some of the basics. The Gemara in Ksubis then tells us the following story. The Gemara says, Rab Zera, have a kamishtamid mid Rabbi Yehuda. Rab Zera kept his distance from Rabbi Yehuda. The boy, the Mesach, the Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to make Aliyah. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently was not in favor of it. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol olim b'Babel Eretz Yisrael, whoever makes Aliyah from Babel, doesn't make a difference here, it's Babel, but it could be from L.A. to Eretz Yisrael, or Tinek for that matter, over Basay, violates a positive commandment. Shenema Babel yuvo, v'shama yiyu adyom pakti osam num Hashem." The Rabbi says, "Yimayo, that you're going to be exiled to Babel, there you'll remain till adyom pakti osam num Hashem." So here we have a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Yehuda's position is that one is not permitted to leave Golus, one has to remain in Babel. One of the haras that were made by a number of Talmidim of the Yeshiva, the Rambam seemingly does not count the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael in his magnum opus Mishneh Torah. I say seemingly because we'll see the matter in a moment. The Ramban, in a number of places, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban is very clear in his position. Among the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to count, this is one of the mitzvahs. And the Ramban writes in Mitzvah Dalet and Sefer Mitzvahs, I'll read some of the language. We're obligated to inherit the land that was given to our forebears. We should not leave it with the nations of the world. Or God forbid, it should not remain desolate. The Ramban refers to Psukim. The Torah says in Parshas Maaseh, you're supposed to inherit the land and dwell there. And the Ramban then wants to disabuse us of any erroneous understanding of this. Maybe the mitzvah is Zayin Amimim. As you know, the Torah says we have to conquer, destroy the seven nations who are indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. It says, Hachrim Tachrimim. That's not what I'm talking about. We can't leave Eretz Yisrael in the hands of the non-Jews. Let's say the nations of the world decide to leave Eretz Yisrael. They abandon it, as Chazal say, Hagigoshi Pana Balachlo, and Hashem gave them Eretz Tova Ka'artzam, Zu Africa. Hashem gave them Africa, says the Ramban. We're obligated to come and conquer Eretz Yisrael, and we're obligated to live there. Ramban, I'm skipping now. The mitzvah that Chazal very much accentuated, living in Eretz Yisrael. Someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael and lives in Chutz Aretz, it's like someone who's guilty of what? Of idolatrous behavior. Chazal were mishabeach, those people who came to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not getting into the details of the mitzvah, namely, whether this mitzvah has two aspects to it, a public aspect, a private aspect, that's a separate discussion. Whatever the case is, Ramban at the end writes, Im Kain, he mitzvah sase l'doros. It's a mitzvah sase, a positive commandment for all generations. Mischayev kol echad mimenu v'afilu b'zman golus. Even during the time of golus. Then the Ramban quotes a sifrei. And this sifrei is the subject of a lot of discussion. Because the Ramban quotes a sifrei in a very attenuated, truncated form. He doesn't quote the entire Sifrei. The Abdinez is the one already who made the Hara, Ulashon Sifrei, Maisib Rab Yudah ben Beserah, Rab Masib ben Chorosh, Rab Chananya, Rab Melchi Yeshua, Rab Nosson Sheyotzin Chutzaretz. They were a whole group of great Talmidei Chacham were leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vigiu Leplatya, they came to the border. Vizachar Es Eretz Yisrael, they realized what they're doing. They're leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vizachar Einayim Zolgud Melseyim. They began to cry. Vikaru Bigdeyim. And they said over this pasuk, Vivishta Vishaptaba, Vyamu Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Kenet Golam Yitzis. And that's how the Ramban ends. The Megillah Esther, who's one of the commentaries on the Sefer Mitzvahs, so he responds to this Ramban, and generally the Megillah Esther, his function is to defend the Rambam against the onslaught, the attacks of the Ramban. The Ramban here said the Rambam forgot to count this mitzvah. So Megillah Esther points out this mitzvah, once we went into Golus, is no longer relevant, and will only become relevant again when? B'Yimos HaMashiach, which is a notion that is very popular in, shall we say, many circles. And the proof lies, as Rabbi Goldschmidt Shlita used the expression, lies in the pudding. And the pudding is the Sifrei. See? Shamati. The pudding is the Sifrei. The Sifrei says they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, and the impression one has is that they left. But of course they were sad. They were obviously upset. They left Eretz Yisrael, they began to cry. And therefore, says the Megillah Esther, the mitzvah is no longer relevant. So just in terms of the reaction to this, number one, the Rambam. Does the Rambam count the mitzvah? The Ramban claims the Rambam did not count the mitzvah. Mitzvah sheshachach osoha Rambam. And so many have pointed out that the Rambam has in many places references to this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, therefore there's no need for the Rambam to formulate a specific mitzvah say to live in Eretz Yisrael, such as the Mishnah Ksubis that I began with as far as the husband and wife. So the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Ishus in Perek Gimel Achachof. He tells you, Omar Ha'ish Lalos Eretz Yisrael, V'yei No Rotza. The man says yes, the wife says no. So then she can be divorced without a Ksuba. Omar Hilalos, she says yes, he says no. Yotzi V'yitein Ksuba. Who adin bechol makom eretz yisrael im yushalayim hakol malon eretz yisrael hakol malon yushalayim. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two. This is pointed out by the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer has a number of references to this issue. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodim. The Rambam there says it's actually a sugi in Gittin. Evet shama lalos eretz yisrael. Let's say the Eved wants to make aliyah. The Eved Knani. Kofenes rabo lalos imo. We force his master to make aliyah with him. O yimkar also. Or he has to sell him to someone who wants to make aliyah. Rotzah hadam, let's say the other wants to leave Eretz Yisrael and wants to go to L.A. or Tinek. Ein yachal otzi esav, though. He can't do so. Achi yirtze. Bedin zeh b'chol zman, avilu b'zman hazeh. Even today this applies. And there are a number of other such Rambams where you see clearly that the Rambam has made reference to this halacha, not in the formal context of formulating the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz as mitzvah say. And the other response is the Arachayim HaKadosh in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Pasuchav, and many also have suggested this, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, there's no need for the Rambam to formulate a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Ki Yishiva Haaretz hi mitzvah hakolelas kol haTorah kula, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. This mitzvah embraces the entire Torah. It's a mitzvah kolelas. And in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeah, we also have a reference to that din regarding Avodim. And therefore, the Avnei Nezer argues that those who claim, namely, he writes, it's only going to be relevant when? B'mos HaMashiach. V'hod is Sifri. The Sifri that he quotes, that they cried because they couldn't be in the kind of mitzvah. Hinei abav dava boru shabal Megillah Sesto l'roa Sifrei Atzmo. He didn't see the entire Sifrei. Rak Mashevi HaRamban. Because we look in the entire Sifrei, here's the Sifrei. I'm now going to read to you the end of the Sifrei, quoted by the Avnei Nezer. The Sifrei says they were about to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they started saying, "What were you doing?" They began to cry. Karu bigdeyem. They tore their clothing. The Karu hamikra hazeh. They read this pasuk. Shmor b'shamata kol advarim. V'yomu yishira Eretz Yisrael shkula kedid kol hamitzvah shabatoyah. V'chazu ubolim koma. They went right back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Avnei Nezer quotes, which the Megillah Esther apparently didn't see that part of the Sifrei. And the other says the Avnei Nezer, Hinei Shehamitzvah Azayis Bizman Azeh, and it applies obviously even today, and therefore the Megillas Esther, his position is an incorrect position. Regarding the Tosfos that I quoted to you, namely, that the mitzvah is not noig today because there are sakonos and onshin, says the Marit. And actually, the Marit says, I'm not reading the entire piece, but only a small piece. These are words of wonderment, what the Tosfos quoted in the name of Rabbi Yisrael. You want to buy a piece of property in Israel? Trust me, the foreigners are buying up the city of Yerushalayim. That's what I understand. I don't live in Yerushalayim, but half of Rechavia. And what's that area called? Mamila. Half of it is owned by Europeans, by foreigners. You can go ahead and buy a piece of property. Umi makiv al yodo. Who's stopping you? Only a few million dollars. And then he writes further. If Rav Chaim, the position that one of the Baal Yatesis took is a correct one, how come we didn't hear about this from anybody else? He now quotes the Maram Rutenberg. And he quotes all Yerushalmi, that Kevin Asai Shalalos v'chulu v'chulu mikana talomet shedivri Rav Chaim einam yisera teisus. This Rav Chaim is what? An error. Or as some have written, Eze Talmud Toye kosev es hadvarim. It was an insertion, an interpolation that's not well founded, that's not well grounded. It's taken from Rav Rutenberg, and he writes at the end of this tshuva, Umashe Kosav, the Marit, Dein Mitzvah Lodur Eretz Yisrael, Hagoas Talmud Hi, V'lav D'Samcha Hi Klal. There's no basis for it whatsoever. Okay, I just wanted to share with you some of this. And the Avnei Nezer also writes, similar to the Meshech Chochma I mentioned earlier, Kol Zehu Rak She'en Lo Rishus Me'am M'Shola. Only if the president has no permission, then obviously the issue of the Gimel Shavuos is relevant. But today that we have Rishus, so it's obvious, it's clear, that therefore the issue was not an issue. Okay, I'm simply presenting the overall picture regarding some of the halachic issues that are involved. There are many more issues. I'm not going to go through the entire discussion. There's a lot of discussion about this. You are certainly aware that some of the Talmidei Agro and some of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov were among the earlier settlers who came to Eretz Yisrael. They came to Eretz Yisrael, trust me, when it was very difficult, but of course the one who is probably most notable among those who came to Eretz Yisrael is the Ramban himself, who made Aliyah, and anyone who's familiar with the Ramban al HaTorah knows that the Ramban is absolutely enamored of Eretz Yisrael. That's the understatement of the year. Many years ago, in the 60s, I was zeichet to hear Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal. I used to go to his Hashkofa Shurim, if you will, and Rabban Soloveitchik commented on the language of the Ramban in his Hasogasi and the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, where the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah, and the Ramban clearly is very much in favor of this mitzvah. And he has the following line at one point in time, which Rabban Soloveitchik interpreted in the following way. When the Ramban writes, and he quotes Psukim, to show you that it should be counted among the minyan HaMitzvahs, so the Ramban says, Zeho Ra, this is a clear indication, Shehu mitzvah, there's a mitzvah say, a chemes haguf, to make aliyah, lo yehud v'haftocha. So Rabban Soloveitchik said, apparently the Ramban, what is he doing by this statement? He is articulating the position of the Ramban. That the Ramban's position is that what is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael? Not a mitzvah as he himself feels, but rather, yehud v'haftocha. Translate that, yehud v'haftocha. A promise, a prognostication, not a tzivui. The way Rabban Soloveitchik interpreted this statement of the Ramban, he said the following. The Shita Sarambam is that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a positive obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, like any other mitzvah. Eating matzah, correct? Putting on tefillin. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a chayves haguf, mitzvah say. What is the Shita Sarambam? It is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but rather a mitzvah, what's known as kiyumis. Certainly if one lives in Eretz Yisrael, one is mekayim a mitzvah, But it's a mitzvah kiyumis. That's how the language of the Rambam, according to Abban Soloveitchik, and he had a lot more to say, which I'm not going to share with you now. It's for another time. But there's a mitzvah kiyumis that's involved over here. The same understanding of the Rambam I heard from Harav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, from the brother, the older brother of Abban Soloveitchik, and actually it's found also in one of Rav Shechter Svarim, that he mentions this interpretation of the Rav, Machlokes the Rambam Ramban, is it a mitzvah kiyumis or a mitzvah kiyumis? But even if it's a mitzvah kiyumis, obviously it's a mitzvah that one should be mekayim. May not be a chiyum, but it's certainly a kiyum, a mitzvah unquestionably. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, in a very famous tshuva, the end of a tshuva having nothing to do with the price of tea in China, Rav Moshe Feinstein also has the same understanding, chiyumis and kiyumis. So obviously, as we know, great gedolim think alike. And here we see this understanding of the Rambam Ramban in light of several gedolim Yisrael. I want to read now a comment of Harav Soloveitchik. This comment is published in an English Sefer called Drashot HaRav, in an essay entitled The American Jew in the State of Israel. Says the Rav, to assert that the land of Israel is central to Halacha is as obvious as stating that the Torah contains 613 commandments. And the Rav indicates here that he had read essays in which the authors contended that living in Israel was not a central idea in Judaism, since Maimonides does not count this as among the 613 commandments. The Rav said, this is nothing more than vain sophistry. S-O-P-H-I-S-T-R-Y. Josh, you'll translate it for them. Means it's absolute balderdash. He goes further, the Rav. It's not an exact translation. Even if one to maintain Maimonides' opinion, the apparent omission of this imperative in his list of mitzvahs does not render it less important. For example, the Ramban does not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha as one of the 613 commandments. Would the Ramban deny it's a central tenet of Judaism? Omission of a tenet from the list of mitzvahs does not imply anything regarding its centrality to Judaism. And then, I will tell you another argument that Rav Soloveitchik mentions, that was mentioned to me by a very prominent Rosh Hashiva, living in Chutz Laretz. And the Rav refers to it. Living outside Israel is a better option for Orthodox Jews than living in Israel. Because while Israel is allegedly rife with heretics, outside Israel, one could create insular ghettos and eliminate such outside influences. In LA, there are no outside influences. In Chicago, clearly not. There's a lot of wind in Chicago. Teaneck. Teaneck is the most insulated community in the world. New York, ain't maladaber. New York is like a little ghetto. So our Soloveitchik responds, while advocates of this view invoke all kinds of strained proofs to buttress their position, the Rav says, I have the best possible proof to refute it. I read, with all the ghettos that Jews have created, from Brooklyn to Johannesburg to Gateshead, none was holier than the Machane Levi'a during the Israelites' 40-year desert sojourn where Moshe Rabbeinu himself lived. Despite the sanctity of the Makom, the Kedushas HaMakom of Machane Levi'a, Moshe, the most preeminent of Nevi'im, asked Hashem, Ebrono v'eres ha'aretz ha'tova, ha'or ha'tova zev yavonon. Moshe knew that even the Kedusha of the Machane Levi'a did not approach that of the land of Israel, and Moshe himself made such a request. If that's the case, the same request, I want to read the language, should be made by all the purported saints of today who minimize the significance of living in the land of Israel. Rav Yudin, all the saints of today. Okay, the Rav has many other aspects here. Let me just mention a few more things, if I may. And then we'll open the floor to your questions. To my mind, l'fi aniyus da'ati, the dynamics of Jewish life are all here. Are all in the state of Israel. I think one could lead here a much more integrated kind of life as opposed to the I think with my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita, called a choppier existence that one has in diaspora. There's a greater sense of shleimus, because even the mundane aspects of your daily existence take on a certain kedusha. And of course, there's also the challenge of contributing to the building of the State of Israel, no small matter. You know, there were periods of time in our history when Eretz Yisrael was not very heavily populated by Jews. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in Perakei, Halacha Yud Gimel, although today we determine the new month according to Eidim, we no longer have Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi Ariya, al-Pi HaCheshbon, not based on witnesses, but it is specifically the calculations of whom? Of those who live in Eretz Yisrael that matter. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuf Nun Gimel, he makes a radical statement. If God forbid, there would be no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, says the Rambam, there would not be any Yom Tovim. There'd be no holidays. But in the same breath, the Rambam tells you, Chas V'Shalom, that will never happen. Because Hashem Yisbarach has promised, there will always be a Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael. So at least on some minimalistic level, there's a continuous thread of existence here in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no question that even if the numbers here were sparse, there's no doubt we have a deep, profound connection to Eretz Yisrael. It is really our Sharashim, Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It's our future. Historically, Klal Yisrael has always been bound up with Eretz Yisrael. And every Ben Torah should certainly feel that. And I think people who come to Eretz Yisrael, all of you, to study, to learn, feel this probably. Often we don't sufficiently appreciate the schus that we have of living in Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned this in the past. Last night I had, as I have usually twice a week, the opportunity to learn with several of my grandchildren. Shlita, Shlita, Shlita. Three of them last night. And I'm telling you that there's nothing comparable to learning with grandchildren. As I always tell my wife, that when it comes to grandchildren, what your grandparents do, open up their pockets and keep their mouths closed. That should be the approach with their sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, even with their own children. But there's tremendous nachas that one can have learning with grandchildren who grew up in Eretz Yisrael. They all speak Hebrew fluently, kamuvan. But the older one that I learned with, he's almost 11. Wow. He only knows Chamishachum Shetara by heart, far better than I do. I don't know it by heart. I'm a bit familiar with it. He knows all Mishnais of Kachim by heart. I tested him on all Kachim. He's finished Kemat Moed, all Moed by heart. By heart, with Havana. He understands the Mishnais as well. With the older one, who's all of 13 and a half, almost 14, I learned with him the entire first Berakah of Baba Kama, Gemara Rashi Taisis. He knows every Rashi and every Taisis in the first Berakah of Baba Kama. Actually, he knows more than that. But I'm only familiar with the first Berakah of Baba Kama. That's all I learned with him. The other one, a bit older, I attempted to test him on all the Masechet Kedushin, but I realized that he knew it far better than I did, and so I decided to quickly escape while it was healthy. Before he began to test me. That would have been embarrassing. And then I also learned with another one, a Matzai Shabbos, from a different, one of my other children. He knows two prokim in Maseches Gittin Kimat Balpeh. And he's not as necessarily similar to the others. By the way, how do I go about doing this successfully? When you drop shekels into people's pockets, it works wonders. Ki asheicha yaveh nechachomim. Bisaleh divrei tzadikim. So even though they're all tzadikim, chayos hakodesh, stress the chayos, but whatever the case is, money can do a lot. Where would you find such chinuch in Chutz Laaretz? Trust me, it is not to be found. Even in the best, shall we say, of situations, what exists here is mind-boggling. I heard from Rav Nevin Sol Shlita a number of times. There's so many Mamar Chazal that speak about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the Ramban Shita, those who learn Ramban, Keseda, know the Ramban holds. The ideal venue for Kiyum HaMitzvahs is only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Kuzari as well has a similar kind of position. And the words of Rashi in Dvarim, I think it's Perakat Al Pasuk Yudches, if I'm not mistaken, in Pashas Ekev, Rashi refers to the Navi Yemyo, Atzivu Lachem Tziyunim. There's no need to underscore the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. But Jews who live in Chutz Aretz, so how exactly do they see themselves? Rav Nevenzel indicated, divided into two main groups. One group assumes that the three Shavuos are still relevant today, as I mentioned the name of the Sad Mirav Zatzal. Others in that same group contend that it's not possible to provide proper chinuch in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the only place that one can provide proper chinuch is in Williamsburg. Only in Williamsburg can one acquire Yirat Shamayim, and not in Eretz Yisrael, not in Beit Shemesh. Or that the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael are not as good as the yeshivas in Chutz Aretz. I think that those people are making an egregious error. They're sadly mistaken. I think Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Kod Baruch Hashem, acquired Yirat Shamayim. There are very fine yeshivas here. But according to the other opinion, which is, I would say, the entire room, that contends that the three Shavuos are not relevant, are not operative, as I mentioned earlier, and on the contrary, we are passionate Zionists. The most passionate Zionists one could possibly find. One can be Mechanech in Eretz Yisrael. So of course then the question is, why are we living in LA? Why are we living in Teaneck? Why are we living in Chicago? And even, why are we living in the holy, holy, holy citadel of Flatbush? Why don't they make Aliyah? B'al zeh, afshar lagid, teku. Tish b'yitarez, kushuz nabayiz. Now, Soloveitchik often commented on the Lashon of Birchas Hamazon. We say it every day. This is actually taken from Kuzari, really. That's his argument. Eretz, Chemda, Toiva, Urchava. The Rav said a whole drasha. Rav Shechter Shlita has this drasha actually in one of his svarim. Chemda means a land which is so desirable. Chemda. Lo sachmod. We desire Eretz Yisrael. Toiva. Toiva haaretz meid meid. Rechava. Eretz HaTzvi. The more you come, the more Eretz Yisrael will expand. Eretz Yisrael has this capacity to expand, unbelievable harchava that Eretz Yisrael has. You may get the impression that I'm very enamored of Eretz Yisrael. You are correct. It has grown on me in the last 19 and a half years, tremendously. And so, I believe that minimally, everyone has to contemplate and think about the issue, think about it carefully, and try to find a way, or perhaps a mitzvah Hashem, that could also be mekayim this mitzvah. Of course, I will indicate one of the preconditions. You have to make panasa. Sometimes it's not easy to make panasa in Eretz Yisrael. That is a true statement. But from what I hear from my colleagues and Talmidim in Chutz Aretz, it's not easy to make panasa there either. Certainly, this should be a consideration that one should have in one's lifetime to try to consider the possibility of Aliyah. Yitz Hashem doesn't have to be now, it could be in the future, after one is already perhaps on the derech in terms of what one wants to do professionally and the like. But there's no doubt that Eretz Yisrael is a very, very significant factor in our lives, one that everyone should consider in a serious kind of way. I'll just make one or two more statements and then I'll open up the floor for discussion. I'm going back to the beginning of my conversation. I believe I'm nogea b'davar. I think that I was mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah even though I live in Beit Shemesh. And even those who live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, we have a fair number of outstanding rabbeim, they're also mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah lefi anius daiti. As a matter of fact, even those who live in Yerushalayim, we also have a wonderful outstanding rabbeim, are also mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah. So to make a statement that only if you live in Yehuda v'Shomron, in Kochav HaShachar, and I have some chaverim who live in Kochav HaShachar, and trust me, they don't agree with me either. Only then you're mekayim the mitzvah aliyah. That is really a statement which I don't believe is, shall we say, a balanced one. And I don't think it's a correct statement either. And I think they only said it, and I want to be melamed tzchus on them, because of their passion and their love for Eretz Yisrael. They love Eretz Yisrael so much, and they want to get across to you their intense love and infatuation with Eretz Yisrael. That's why they express it in such a fashion. But I also don't agree with the position of the Sad Merav Zatzal. I didn't know Magia like Asulayim Shalom. But I can tell you that Rav Gadol Yisrael did not agree with his position. And trust me as well, if a quarter of a million American Jews were to come to Eretz Yisrael, all of you, we will change the country. We will introduce moderation and balance. Adam, I really believe that.
It's true.
I think it is true. And the last statement I want to make, and I say this with kol hazehirus, with all the caution that I could possibly muster. To me, Jewish history in the last 100 years has undergone more frenetic and more seismic and jarring vibrations than the last 1,000 years. You can disagree. The events that have occurred are absolutely nothing short of being monumental from every standpoint. I'm referring to the emancipation in the late 1800s. I'm referring to Jews emigrating everywhere. I'm referring to, of course, the establishment of the State of Israel, which was clearly one of the greatest miraculous events of our day. But in general, you know what's happening in the world. The world has become very fundamentalist, almost crazy. There's so many crazy things going on that I don't think I've ever read about or witnessed. And the last 100 years has been mind-boggling. And there's no doubt that Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu, the numbers of people coming to Eretz Yisrael continue to increase. Sometimes the pace is slower, sometimes it's a bit quicker. Sometimes it's the result of Rachmanu Litzlan anti-Semitism. We should know of it anywhere in the world. No Jew should be subjected to anti-Semitism. You know what's going on in Europe and in certain parts of the world with Shechita and Bris Milah and what have you. Even reaching the shores of America, which to me is mind-boggling that the entire discussion could even be had. I ultimately and feel strongly that the future of a Klal Yisrael lies in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I implore you and urge you to at least consider the notion of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yetzer Hashem, at one point in your lifetimes, hopefully sooner than later. Of course, it has to be done with seichel, with a lot of seichel, with pichos. Of course, you have to have parnasa. Of course, you have to find a way and a community that you'll feel comfortable in. But I think really, Baruch Hashem, it's going to become a greater reality as time continues, and Yetzer Hashem, over the next while. Okay, questions, comments? Go ahead. I'll be honest with you. Because I consider myself to be, as I mentioned earlier, I try to be as balanced as I can. I don't think Eretz Yisrael is among the Yud Gimel Ikrim. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, was always, I would say, even fond of saying, we lived for hundreds and hundreds of years without the state. There's something that we can't live without, and that is Talmud Torah. Kein chayenu v'aruch yameinu. And the truth of the matter is that Eretz Yisrael without Torah, according to the Rav, also, unfortunately and tragically, will lose much of its, shall we say, special character. Eretz Yisrael, hopefully, is a means that we can enhance our commitment to Torah, and we can somehow build a state that will be anchored on Torah values and on commitment to mitzvahs. The key in our lives is Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Talmud Torah. That's the ultimate end. That's more significant than Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, I'm not of the opinion that Eretz Yisrael, Ibar Alas, It's not one of the Yigimalei Krim. It's a very significant mitzvah. According to the Archaim HaKadosh, it's Kailul Kalat Torah Kula. But I think in the terms of, shall we say, the scale of values, Torah clearly is more significant than Eretz Yisrael. Can one live a full life in Chutzaras? Of course one can. How could I possibly suggest otherwise? But the Ramban says that here, the Ribbono Shel Olam is within reach. It's a local call. Eretz Yisrael already, it's long distance. And the Ramban speaks about how you have to go through all kinds of satraps and intermediaries and mediation in order to get to Ribbono Shel Olam here. Eretz Ani Hashem Elokecha Bo Bereshis Hashana Rach Rishona. So the Hashkocha and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael all obviously help a person. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim. I've mentioned many times, why is it that young men like yourself and young women come to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year? Why don't you remain in L.A. and learn there? There are institutions, Baruch Hashem, find yeshivas in L.A., and find yeshivas in Teaneck, and find yeshivas in Chicago, and everywhere, and Flatbush has, I think, one or two as well. What I heard, why do you come here? The answer is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the Avir Eretz Yisrael is such, besides being away from your environments, but here there's no doubt that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself gives you, you have a Siyata Dishmaya. Can one live a fulfilled life in Chutz Aretz? The answer is yes. Can one live a more fulfilled life in Eretz Yisrael? Unquestionably. Ain't shum suffik. A far more fulfilled life than one has in Chutz Aretz. Baruch Hashem, you can make a living in Eretz Yisrael. I don't think everyone has to make. How much money do you need in order to live? $500,000 a year? So I made $500,000 a year, probably in some previous Gilgul that I'm not aware of. I'm not familiar with those Gilgulim. Somehow I must have missed it. Oh, Hashem, you can live on less. I was making much more money when I lived in Toronto than I'm making now, much more. It is true, the Canadian government took a nice share, but so does the Israeli government. So I don't, shall we say, but you know something, at the end of the day, I'm much happier here. And Baruch Hashem, I really feel that I, through my children and grandchildren, hopefully, as I say, will continue to have tremendous nachas and go mechayel ochayel. But I'm not indicating that one cannot live in Chutz Aretz. There's a Gemara, and twice in Shas, the Gemara says, "Stoka asakadosh baruch hu misel shepizam meirum asayilam." So I guess those who live in Chutz Aretz want to be part of that Ma'amah Chazal. And but I'm not. I think I mentioned I have a very outstanding Talmud Chacham who daven in my shul who feels that a young man should not go out with a young woman who's not interested in making aliyah. And he and I disagree. I don't agree with him. He holds it to tonight, Kodon Lamaisa. Don't go out with a woman unless she wants to make aliyah, and vice versa. I don't agree with that. If you find a young woman who is has all the beautiful milas that you're looking for, namely, I think I should list them too. She's a Yerei Shamayim. She's intelligent. She's Machshiv Torah. She's Tanua. That means modest. In all of her ways, she has a clear direction in her life. She loves Hashem Yisbarach. Marry her miyad. Don't waste any time. And, as I always say, try to find someone who's a bit more frum than you are. I'll just leave it at that. In some cases, it's not so difficult. Whatever the case is. That's what one should do, but should it be a prerequisite? That only if she's going to make aliyah, you're going to make aliyah? I don't think so. Okay, yeah.
At risk of this devolving into a political discussion, one of the gentlemen from Kohol HaShachar said that he was in favor of a one-state solution. What does the halacha say about giving away land for peace?
Okay, that's really not the topic, and it would be unfair of me to address that. Unless you want me to address it separately, I'll be glad to do so as well. It needs a few hours. Achzorat Shtachim. It's a topic that I've addressed many times in the past. But it's not really the issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so if you don't mind, I'll defer it this time. Yeah?
Rosh Hashiva mentioned that according to the Rav, and Moshe Feinstein, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumi and not mitzvah kiyumi.
By the way, can I just add to that, that I myself heard from Rav Soloveitchik, his diuk in the Rambam was based on the following, that the Rambam says, Liolam Yadur Adam Eretz Yisrael, he quotes the Gemara in Ksubis, as opposed to writing what he normally would write, Mitzvah Saseh Ladur Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he formulate it in such a fashion? Mitzvah Saseh Lishmoat Kiyas HaShofar Rosh Hashanah. Mitzvah Saseh to read Pamayim Bayom to Pashta Kriyashma. He doesn't say that by this. He says, Liolam Yadur Adam. He's Meshabech, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. But I told you earlier that the Rambam has reference to it many other places, and that's the assumption of the Avnei Nezer, that he does count it, but not in a direct way. But go ahead now.
Okay. I know that they didn't push their students to make Aliyah as much, but I have a question.
Can I just interpolate that a lot more students are Absolovechik are making Aliyah? We have, I think, a fair number of them. I consider Abayim, this yeshiva, to be Talmidim Rav Soloveitchik. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. They all were zochet to learn from individuals who heard from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Yibadol Chaim Arukim, Rav Soloveitchik's son-in-law, made Aliyah. Rosh Hashiva, Vishivat HaRetzion, made Aliyah. Again, I don't exactly know the family politics in terms of where the Rav was. In terms of that, you indicated in a statement that you just made a second ago, which I could possibly question, but it's good to take it up with Harav Rakefet. There's a gentleman here who's very, very, shall we say, colorful. Let's just put it that way. And so he's also from the Talmid Rav Soloveitchik. And he came here, and he made Aliyah. He was a Rav and a Rebbe in Yeshiva University. And he came at a time when people thought he was a complete and total lunatic.
What about the Rav himself?
Now, the Rav himself did not make Aliyah. He came here once in 1935. I understood, I didn't hear this from the Rav myself, but the Rav came here, he was a candidate to be the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. And later on, he was a candidate in the 50s to be the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. One could just imagine what would have happened had the Rav become the chief rabbi. I don't know, I'd like to speculate about that. But the Rav decided against it for, again, I have many reasons, all based on speculation, why he came to that maskana. But he never came back to Eretz Yisrael after that, because the Rav held, the Shitas HaRambam, seems to be that once you are in Eretz Yisrael, you can't leave, unless you have three or four specific reasons. Why can you leave Eretz Yisrael? To learn Torah, Parnasa, to get married, and the like. But other than that, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. The Rav did not want to be in that position. Okay, so it's true, Rav Soloveitchik did not come here, but I also suspect the reason is because the Rav was sorely needed in Chutz Aretz. Yeah, people know my position. I believe the Rav saved North American Jewry. The Rav saved the North American rabbinate. And I'm not really, I'm not just a small Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. And I believe that that is really his major contribution. Plus, he really made Judaism so exciting for Jews living in, shall we say, outside Eretz Yisrael, by his ability to say shiurim that were wondrous, fantabulous, and by interpreting, and shall we say, using the currency of the time to make Judaism something which was so, as I said, exciting and so attractive. So he had a role to play in Chutz Aretz. It's under Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal. They had major roles to play. That's the reason why they probably did not make Aliyah. I think that today there are many very outstanding personalities who are coming to Eretz Yisrael. In general, those who don't come, I think, have a role to play in Chutz Aretz, whether it's Rabbanim or Mechanchim, and I don't deny, and on the contrary, I don't poo-poo their roles. I think they're doing tremendous work, and Baruch Hashem, they'll be Mekarev Achenda B'nai Yisrael, which also is very significant. And so those individuals, I have no issues with them in terms of their being Chutz Aretz. I mentioned to many people, when I had a dream to come here, but I said to myself, what am I going to do here? Honestly, what do I have to offer? Kam Abishai David, Ika Beshuka. There are many people who are much more talented than I am. I'm telling you the honest truth. Baruch Hashem, I know a lot of talented people. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I still came, and Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and his Bechazdo Agodo, gave me some Siyata Dishmaya. And I think everyone can have Siyata Dishmaya. But I think they didn't come because they had specific roles to play. But I think times have changed. Dynamics of Jewish life have changed. America is not what it was when I grew up in America. America has changed drastically. I think dynamics of Jewish life are coming here. I really believe that. You could disagree. You could say they're in Flatbush. They are in Flatbush, no doubt about it. Flatbush has, unquestionably, I would say, the major ingredient that it offers is chapanash. And there's no shortage of that. Every dollar amas, there's another chapanash. That's a major, significant contribution to Klal Yisrael.
Well, that might have been answering my question, but
maybe I'm being a bit sharp.
No. The question that I was going to ask was by tzitzis. I may be wrong about this, but you're not allowed. You're only chayav to a mitzvah chiyuv if you have a full corn.
Right. But it says in Halacha, the Gemara Menachos, as you're familiar with, that Chas v'Shalom, a person does not have to wear a four-cornered garment, but the Eden of the Rizcha, if Hashem is angry at the person, then he will go after him even for that as well. So the Chatchila says in Shulchan Aruch that one should dafka wear a four-cornered garment, not to be chayv mitzitzis. And it's clear, I don't know if you like this analogy. You probably don't, but I'll tell it to you anyway. You know, sometimes there's a well-known story, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's really irrelevant. A terrible tragedy, a terrible storm, whatever the storm may be in Hashem, we assume it's a Ribbono Shel Olam. A person has the opportunity after the waters begin to rise and a person is on top of his roof, and then we have all kinds of different Hatzolos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we assume it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sent it, right? A rowboat, a this or that, and the person says, no, I don't want any of it. At the end, the person, unfortunately, passes on because he did not avail himself of any of these Hatzolos that were available to him. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bizmanenu Anu, is throwing to us lifelines. Come to Eretz Yisrael. What are those lifelines? Creeping fundamentalism all over the world. And he's telling us, here, I'm giving the opportunity, come to Eretz Yisrael. My brother Shlita, the one in Chadera, the one with the Olam Yodur Adam, the Chadera of Al Yodur in Toronto, he happens to agree with Rabbi Cook Zatzal. Rabbi Cook said, Jews will come. They'll either come volitionally, voluntarily, exercising their own Bechira, or Rachmanu Litzlan, they're going to come here pursued and chased by anti-Semites who are rearing their ugly heads everywhere. Now, I don't take such a position. I find that to be a very frightening kind of approach. My brother, to him, it's a milsa de pshita. That's what he sees. He tells me the last 44 years of his being in Eretz Yisrael. I am not, chas v'shalom, God forbid for a moment, promoting anti-Semitism. Chmal litzlan. Every Jew should be able to live ishtachas gafnu, ishtachas deinosu in L.A., in Teaneck, in Chicago, peacefully and wholesomely, and live a satisfied, fulfilled kind of life. But my brother says, the writing is on the wall. That's what my brother sees. And he has a different perspective than I have. He's in Chadera for about 44 years. So what exactly are you trying to say?
My question was under the premise that the Rav didn't push so much for his students and followers, right. Since he held that tzitzis and gam aliyah.
But again, as I told you, just like tzitzis, once you try to fulfill by wearing a beggar dollar compass, you're right, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, I get your point. But even a mitzvah kiyumis is something that once you try to do. So the chatchila, I mean, there are many din of the rabbanon. I shouldn't be mekayim din of the rabbanon, only din of the haisa mekayim.
So why didn't he push?
I think that, again, as I said, it could be that the Rav felt he had a very, very important, significant role, which I think he did have in Chutz Laaretz, and that's why he remained where he was. But I could very well be that today the times have changed. Maybe the Rav today would not necessarily take that kind of tack. I don't know. It's hard for me to know. I do know that there are Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik who now, Baruch Hashem, are coming to Eretz Yisrael. The last number of years, I've seen a fair number of them. And even talented mechanchim, you should know there's a brain drain. There's so many talented people coming to Eretz Yisrael. I see incredible talent here. Not always easy to find a position and to really find a job that is fulfilling, etc. But I believe that times have changed. That's what I'm trying to express. And I think that Baruch Hashem today, Eretz Yisrael is not what it was 40 years ago. I think that there have been major strides that have been taken and made. And I hope you'll be a part of it, Amir Tzasha.
We're going to see where she stated with Satmar, and they were putting up those signs for Yom HaTzimut. If they're so against keeping
Yom HaTzimut
against the state of Israel, then why would they
live? Zelechud bezelechud. There's still a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But their position is that the state and the government are not exactly proponents of a Torah lifestyle. And obviously, from their perspective, therefore, the state and the government are not positive forces there are negative forces as far as they're concerned. I think that the more of us come here, hopefully we'll have an impact on that as well. Hopefully we'll be able to change things and be able to improve things, and as I said earlier, we'll become much more Torah anchored. I would like to hope that that is the ultimate dream of Eretz Yisrael. And we'll be able, with all the difficulties and all the problematica, to somehow try to find a country that will be largely committed to Torah values and Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos. And there's no doubt in my mind that the most significant and the most enormous impact can be had by Jews who are committed to Eretz Yisrael, committed to mitzvahs, and committed to Limud HaTorah. We could change the whole country. Because we know what we want. We have a clear kivun, a clear direction in our lives, a clear understanding of what our destiny is all about. We know what Tanakh is all about. And therefore, we have a completely different perspective on things. And we're not just interested in living in, shall we say, in a country the way the Irish live in Ireland and the way the Japanese live in Japan. We want to have a country that is, use the Rav's expression, God intoxicated. That wants to be Dovuk and Hashem is Baruch. Yeah, sorry, Adam.
Kind of off topic, but is the ideal government of Israel for Rosh Hashiva one governed by halacha, or should it be the way that it is now?
That's an impossible question. Judaism is not a democracy.
Yes.
Judaism is a theocracy. And from our perspective, as you know, we had the concept of sovereignty of Malchus in Tanakh. You're quite aware of it. David HaMelech. David HaMelech was committed to the Torah, to Hashem Yisbarach, to the tenets of our Torah and mitzvahs. What you're asking me is an impossible question, because my answer is that ideally, if one can have a state, as I mentioned a moment ago, that's run and anchored by Torah values, that to me is ideal. But then if you start asking me minutia, details, how's it going to work out? Ein li musag. I don't have a clue. I know the difficulties, that's for sure. But in Tanakh it worked. With difficulties, with many difficulties, if you learn Tanakh as you do. And unquestionably, we'll continue to have difficulties. But the notion of a secular government is something which to me is very, very foreign to my understanding of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Yeah. Clearly you have to live in a community that you feel comfortable with, that shares your hashkafa, your values, your understanding. I'm sorry?
Like over the green line or...
Wow. There's an executive director of this yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Mickey Mark. He's like a mysterious... phantom type of fellow. He lives in Otniel. You know where Otniel is? Deep, deep in the Shtachim. He maintains that's where everyone should live. First of all, you get more shall we say, more for your buck, or more for your shekel, in terms of shetach property. In the larger metropolitan areas, things are very expensive. That's the understatement of the year. By the way, the Gemara says in Bava Tzia, "Ksafim Elam Shmir Alavakarka." If you want to invest? Invest in the real estate of Eretz Yisrael. It only goes up. Could you explain that to me? I don't think it's gone down since I've come here. At least not a mumchen in real estate, that's for sure. But I see the situation. I would like to hope that Jews will be able to live in Hebron and in Kiryat Arba and in Otniel and all over Eretz Yisrael. But that can only happen if, shall we say, we have the numbers to support that kind of a venture. Ideally, as I mentioned before, if one could live in Yerushalayim, that's ideal. I can't afford to live in Yerushalayim, so I live outside Yerushalayim. What? I don't think there's a difference. I think whatever is part of Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah to live there. You can live in Be'er Sheva and in Kiryat Gat and in Kiryat Shmona and in Sderot. I think Jews should live everywhere, all over Eretz Yisrael. And I hope and pray, Yitz Hashem, that Jews will continue to come to Eretz Yisrael and populate the country from north to south, from east to west. And I think Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach will be able to strengthen the kind of direction, ideological direction, that we want to give the country. And that's why I'm samech on you. I'm depending on all you, Yitz Hashem, to consider the possibility, the option of living in Eretz Yisrael. I still believe that there's nothing comparable to it. And I'm only living here 19 and a half years, so I'm a recent, I'm a greener, relatively. I heard someone speak recently in my neighborhood. He's here 42 years. He told me, "Adayin greener." He's still a greener, even though he's here 42 years and he has grandchildren living here and the like. You have to find a community that you feel comfortable with. Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of variety. I would like to also think that maybe we'll be able to, if you guys come, people of your ilk, we'll again try to introduce a bit more balance in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I'm dreaming, or Rav Willig, or Rav Green, or Rav Yudin, or Rav Ifra, Rav Goldschmidt, Rav Steyman. Maybe I'm dreaming. Rav Steyman is not there? I think I saw you before.
You mean one of the neighbors?
There is, to me, too much extremism in this country. I can't deal with it. Adam, I'm telling you the truth. I want there to be more balance. Let there be more dialogue between different groups. Different groups can have their positions. But why does everyone think, my way or the highway? That's the approach here. I can't handle that. I'm too American. That may be. I think we can come, there's a way to effect more rapprochement between the different groups in the country, and you guys can do it. Because you guys have moderation and have balance and have that kind of sense. And maybe when come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll change overnight. I don't know. Hopefully not. But I think we can introduce more balance in the country where we can have, really right now, I'm asking Hashem Yisbarach every day, also Shalom Bim Romov, we ask the Shalom Aleinu. As the Rama writes, we are killing ourselves here. There is no area without machlokes. Not one area in my life which is not surrounded by machlokes. Why can't we learn to respect each other's differences? The answer, of course, is obvious. Because only I'm right and you're wrong. Milsa pshita. That to me is smacks of more than a shminis of gaiva. I don't grasp how people could speak in such a fashion. The Gdol Yisrael that I know did not speak that way. The Gdol Yisrael that I know, I heard this from Rav Nissim Alper Tzatzal. I discussed this issue once with him. And he told me, I'll never forget it. So who am I to say that my derech is the only derech? There are different drachim. There are 12 shvatim, 12 sharim. There are many approaches. I'm not here to condemn neither Bnei Brak nor people living in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I don't know if they're the other side of the court. Or even people living in Givat Shared, where I live in Beit Shemesh. We all have room for improvement, to be more committed to Torah, more limud Torah, more shmiras hamitzvahs, more chesed. But as far as I'm concerned, there are many different approaches. I don't believe that there's only one approach. That's not what my Rabbeim taught me. And I learned by a number of Gedolei Yisrael. And that's not what they taught me. But there's, the other night, Rav Shechter said in my shul with Das Torah, if you heard the, so he pointed out that there were some great Talmid Chacham who did not agree with many European Gedolei Yisrael, who felt that Jews should remain in Europe. And they disagree with that. And then the question is, Das Torah. What about Das Torah? Das Torah just began when you started this issue. That's when Das Torah began. Listen, you can find a place. Baruch Hashem, there's room for all of us. As I said, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaTzvi. You'll find a makom, a community. And if not, you'll establish one. Mitz Hashem. One that will fit you and all your, Mitz Hashem, your family, and your chaverim, and you'll bring Rabbanim in, and you'll become a Rav. Even better, you'll become a Rav. You never know what can happen. Nisim do happen in this world. And listen, I never planned on becoming a rabbi. And look at the nest that happened. I don't know if it was good for Klal Yisrael or not. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not unhappy. I'm very happy. Imagine doing what I'm doing as opposed to busy examining fruit flies the rest of my life. is also a good thing. Okay, last comment. It's almost 3:30, so. Yeah, Ariel.
How can someone figure out how much they're supposed to sacrifice in order to make Aliyah, for example, emotionally or mentally, or, you know, like, for example, someone who can't handle mafuket at all. And that, like, there are people like that, or people who cannot, someone who's very anchored in the area that they're living, and right. They think that coming to, and it's not just that they can just try it out and go back, you know.
That's not a good thing. Trust me. Don't try it out and go back before you decide to come. Think it through very carefully. Prepare as much as you possibly can, and from every perspective, panasa-wise, psychologically, emotionally. I understand what you're saying. It's not easy. Trust me, unfortunately, there's no shortage of machlokas in the United States, too. To think that's only here, no, it's everywhere. It's unfortunately, sadan da'ara chadu. Jews are terribly shori right now, machlokas all over the world. Listen, you have to try your best to work it out, and hopefully to Mitzvah Hashem overcome those issues as well.
But aside from, I just gave that as an example. But right. Sometimes, like, would the mitzvah of moving to Eretz Yisrael trump, like, I don't know what examples to give, but, like, how much does one, how does someone make a line, like, now it's just not worth it to go to Eretz Yisrael?
I think if you're, shall we say, two things. One, if you don't have panasa, that's one area where living in Chutz Lars would certainly remain a viable alternative for sure. And number two, if the chinuch of your children will be affected, your children will not necessarily be able to receive a proper Jewish education where they'll hopefully, b'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, go in the way of the Darchei HaTorah v'Hamitzvos. If that's what will happen, then I agree also, those two factors to me are factors to remain in Chutz Lars. But again, I don't necessarily see that it's not possible to make panasas. I think it is possible, not necessarily in chinuch, but it's possible to make panasa. And number two, Baruch Hashem, there's no shortage of chinuch institutions here. The chinuch situation here is far better than it is in Chutz Lars. No comparison, according to my humble opinion. Someone just mentioned to me another gadol about one of his sons-in-law who went to Chutz Lars to pursue a further fellowship in medicine, and two of his kids went with him. And the kids went to high school over there in Chutz Lars, United States, and they discovered in the course of 6 months that the education doesn't come anywhere near they received here in Eretz Yisrael, all the way up north of Eretz Yisrael. In what area, I asked him? Both in Limud HaKodesh and Limud HaChol. Limud HaKodesh Eim Al Adaber, and Limud HaChol Eim Al Adaber. That's what he told me, this Odom Gobel. So I think Eretz Yisrael has a lot to offer, and of course when you come, it will have even more to offer in Yetz Hashem. You will obviously be the one who will be offering it. And I agree there are sacrifices. I'm not saying it's not a sacrifice. It certainly is. But a lot of sacrifice has to do with the fact that we become very accustomed to living comfortably in Chutz Lars. And I think if we're willing to make have some sort of a serious nefesh, at the end of the day, it will redound to our credit. And I think it will be a schus for us and for our families, for our children, and Mir Sasha. Okay, last thing, yeah.
Living here, don't click it out there.
That's a question which the Gemara discusses, and it's a complicated question, very complicated. Many people don't come here because of that issue. Kibbut Aveim, that was the issue, and Talmud, and living in Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of tshuvas. If you wish, I'll show you some of the tshuvas on the matter. I don't think it's just a halakhic issue. Halakhically, I think the answer is pretty clear. However, I think there are other factors that one has to take into consideration, and you can't be mitzar your parents. And you shouldn't subject them to situations where they'll become really in emotional turmoil. I don't think it's a good thing. I have in my own community a number of people who made Aliyah, and their parents are very upset. But what's happened as a result of them making Aliyah, they either go back in the summertime, or parents come here, or they go there often, much more often than they would have expected to go. You can find ways of ameliorating situation. And then you have Skype. And then you have many other technologies, Baruch Hashem, that are available to help the issue, but I don't think it's purely a halakhic issue. I think there are, as you say, many emotional and other factors that are involved here as well. Sure.